Okay, we're beginning on the top of Kufiyot Kedem et Aleph by the first wide line. The Gemara yesterday left off with discussing the issue of Shomrim, that there is a Shomer for Tumah Kala. That means for Tumah Tochlim, a Shomer can both bring Tumah, have Tumah leave the object, as well as be Mitztaref, be added to the item in order to meet the minimum requirements of Shiurim. We also said, Velo Shomrim le Tumah Chamura. There is no such concept by Tumah Chamura, which is a reference to Tumat Nevela, inherent, something with inherent Tumah. That there was no din of Shomrim being Mitztaref. But despite the fact that there was no din of Shomrim being Mitztaref, there is a din that the Shomer of the Nevela acts and functions like a Yad in that instance. It's not Hotam. Now the Gemara brings first Mishnah and Uksin to discuss this issue of Yad and Shomer, which is koshuhu yad. Anything that functions as yad really means like a handle. It's a mechanism or a way to facilitate your ability to move the item, but it's not part and parcel or inherently a part of the item itself. So for instance, when you speak about an apple, you would speak about the stem that comes out of the apple, that you would pick up the apple with that stem. That would be functioning like a yad. Below, shomer. But it's an item, like the stem of the apple, which is not a shomer. It doesn't protect the apple in any way. It simply is functional in its ability to allow you to carry the item, to move the item around. Then it is tamei umitamei ve'eno mitztaref. So the girsa that we have here in our Gemara is tamei umitamei. The actual girsa in the Mishnah is mitamei umitamei. But it means the same thing, which is that it can function in both directions, which is it functions to bring Tumah to the item. If the item was Tahor, and then something Tameh touches the Yad, it can then convey Tumah into the Ochel itself. As well as that the Ochel itself is Tameh, it can convey Tumah outwards to other items through the Yad itself. Ve'eno mitztaref. But it is not mitztaref. I mean, it doesn't get added to the minimum shiur that you need in order to have tumah. In this case, for tumah tochlim, that would be a kebetza. For nevela, where we know it doesn't work anyway, it is a kezayit. Shomer, something that is protective of the item, papa bi she'enu yad, but not necessarily functional. It's not something that by which you carry the item. It's something that protects that which is inside of it. It's some sort of encasement. It's some sort of protective covering on the object. Even though you don't use that to carry it, then again, tamei umitamei umitztaref. Over there, it has all of the functions, which means that it can cause tumah or allow tumah to be conveyed to the ochel itself that it's protecting. Ochel that is tamei, it can convey tumah through the shomer out to other objects. Umitztaref. The mitzomer does count towards the minimum shiur of a kebetza that is required there. Again, we'll see all the way at the end of today's daf, but we've noted before, at least for most Rishonim, that means in order to convey Tumah, you need a minimum of kebetza. And even those Rishonim that believe in order to receive Tumah, you need a kebetza, then the shomer will be a part and parcel of that minimum shiur of a kebetza that is required. Lo yad velo shomer. Something that functions in neither fashion. It doesn't have the capacity to be used as a yad, but it also is not protective in nature. The example that Rashi brings is kugon seyar. If you have hair on the food or some sort of little item that sticks out of the food that, again, doesn't allow you to pick it up, doesn't provide any protection to the food, then lo tamei lo mitamei. Doesn't allow for conveyance of tumah. Doesn't bring tumah to the item. Doesn't allow tumah to be conveyed from the item and outwards. And on the side here, the Masorah de Shas brings other examples besides just hair. He says if you have a piece of meat or a very small bone that is connected to some ochel and you can't use that bone to carry it with, it also doesn't protect the meat that is there. It doesn't have any of these functions. It does nothing. It's as if it doesn't exist, both from the perspective of adding to the kebetza, as well as from the perspective of allowing conveyance of Tumah, both into the item as well as out from the item. Yado Teicha Ktivei. So Gemara says, okay, where do you get this concept of Yado from? The Mishnah is speaking as if this is a given, that Yado function in this way. Where is the source for that in the Torah? Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, this is all coming out of Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph in Shmini, this week's Parsha, where it says, Vichi Yutan Maim Alzera, V'nafal Miniv Latam Alav, Tamehu Lachem. This is actually the source for the fact that there's a requirement of Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah, which is Chiyutan Maim Alzera, water that washed over a Zera, and the term Yutan means even if it happened passively. We have the drush of Yutan Dumya Kiyitain, that it has to be done, even when it's passively, it has to be done with your knowledge or your wanting it to happen. And then there's some sort of nevela that touches the item. Tamei hu lachem. That item becomes tamei. The focus here is on the lachem, which is lachem l'chol shebitzar chechem. Lachem means anything that is servicing you in relationship to this food. So tamei hu lachem means not only is the object itself tamei, but also the mechanisms for your utilizing, carrying around, interacting with this object. That's the chol shebitzar chechem. Anything in your service, l'rabot et yadot. That comes to include yadot. Uchtiv. It also writes in the following pasuk, v'chi yamut min ha-beima, asher hi lachem le'ochla. It says that if any of those animals that you are permitted to eat that dies, hanogeya ben nivlata yitma ad ha'arev, then anybody who comes into contact with that will be tamei until the arev. And here it says, asher hi lachem. Again, they darshan lachem the chol shebitzar chechem, the rabot et hayadot, in order to include a yad. So now you had two psukim that bring you the source for yadot. Both of them have the word lachem in it. And lachem comes to teach you that anything that is functioning for you or in service of you is considered to be an extension of the object or the food item itself. Now we brought two examples. One example was in Pasuk Lamed Chet, which speaks about food items, ochel. And the second example is brought in Lamed Tet, where it speaks about nevela. And so you have yadot in that case. Now even though the yadot are on different objects, the Gemara here says, yadachnis ulotzi. The Gemara's first assumption here is the reason that you have lachem twice is to teach you that yad functions in both directions. Yad functions to bring tuma to the object. It also functions to take tuma from the object and convey it to other items. That's why you have yad mentioned twice in the psukim. Shomer lachnis ulotzi. The fact that a shomer can function in the same way, lo tzarich kra. I don't need a pasuk for that because kal v'chomer miyad ate. That you can learn out from a kal v'chomer prim yad. Shomer is seen throughout the sugya as being something that's more integral to the item itself. If you speak about a yad is exactly that. It's a handle. It's a mechanism for carrying, interacting with the item, but it's not inherently a part of the item. The shomer, on the other hand, protects the item, makes it possible for the item to exist, and is considered much more a part and parcel of the item itself. So if you tell me a yad can function to convey and to receive tuma through the yad, then a shomer certainly should allow tuma to pass through it to the object, or tuma from the object pass through the shomer out to something else. Uma yad she'ena migdina, a yad which doesn't provide protection, machneset emotziah, allows for conveyance and receipt of tuma. Shomer, lo kosher gain, a shomer that does provide that protection and is much more integral to the item, certainly it should have that. Shomer, dichtiv rachmana, lomali. The pasuk that we brought at the end of yesterday's daf, that there is a din of shomer, which is al kol zera zerua, that just like the way you plant seeds in the ground with their shells on them, teaches you that shomer has application. What do I need that for? Shmamina, litzareif. That adds on the additional din that applies to shomrim, that is not true by yad. Yad allows for conveyance, the transference of tuma in and out, but what it doesn't do is add to the basic unit that's there. It doesn't become a part of the shi'ur that you require. The other hand, shomer does what the yad does, which is that it allows for receipt and conveyance of tuma, but it also adds to the shi'ur of the item that's there. And that is because of kol gzera zeruah. So now, that's the first hava mina of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through numerous iterations of this. It's not that a chart just to help with the understanding of that. This is the first iteration, which is trying to explain the dinim that we just found in that Mishnah Nuksin. The Mishnah tells us with regards to a yad, that a yad has the capacity to bring tuma to the object and convey tuma from the object outwards. But a yad is not mitzdareif. It does not add to the shiur. A shomer does both what the yad does, which is convey tuma, allow tuma to come into the object, but also is mitzdareif to the shiur. Gemara wants to know what the source for that is. So far the Gemara proposed that the source is the fact that in the Torah, two psukim tell you that there is a din of yad. And we said, okay, one possible we'll talk about conveying tuma from the object out. One, to have the receipt of the tuma to the object. And then by shomer, we don't need a pasuk to tell you that, because if yad does that, then shomer certainly does that. But I have a pasuk by shomer that tells me that shomer does something above the yad. And that is that it's mitzdareif to the shiur. That's the din that we have so far. Mar says, ve'ema, let us suggest the following. Yad lehachnis ve'lo lehotzi. That when a yad comes to, that it would only allow for the receipt of tuma, but not for the conveyance of tuma. Shomer, then the reason that shomer is brought over here is lachnis ulotzi, but it is to come to teach you that shomer can function in both directions. Aval, but when it comes to yadotzi, by yad conveying of tuma, v'shomer litzareif, well, that they would not be meaningful in this case. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain why now it only has one pasuk of yad, but Rashi notes over here, umnevela lo yalfa lehotzi. By nevela, it doesn't teach you about conveyance of tuma, kidamrin lekaman. The shiny nevela, the tuma chamurahi. Nevela is very different than the concept of tuma tochlim, because the nevela has inherent tuma to it. So, you can't necessarily cross-pollinate between the yad that you find by Ochlim and the yad that you find by Nevela, because they're different entities. Ochlim, you need it to receive tuma, and then it can convey tuma. A Nevela never needs to receive tuma. It has inherent tuma to it. That's what a Nevela is. It is Tamei Tumat Nevela. And therefore, the yad that's found there is very different than the yad that's found by Ochlim. So at this point, what the Gemara is doing is dropping the concept of Nevela completely that we learned yad there. Now we only have one pasuk for yad. That one pasuk of yad is found by Ochlim. And the Gemara's suggestion is that that yad comes to teach you that tuma can be conveyed or transferred into the ochel. Through the yad you can transfer it in. That's the only thing that a yad can do. Then you have another pasuk by shomer that adds on the additional capacity of the shomer to be mutzi. Not only can it receive tuma, the shomer can allow for the conveyance of tuma outward. And that's all you would know. You wouldn't know that a yad can convey tuma outwards, and you also would not know that a shomer adds to the shiur that the inherent item. Gemara says you can't do that because lachnis velo lotzi lo matzit amart. There's no way you can speak about a yad having the capacity to receive tuma and then not have the capacity to convey tuma. Hashta iule ma'ilo. If the yad has the capacity to allow tuma to be conveyed into the ochel, afuke mi bai, then the fact that it can transfer it out, why would that even be a question? The reason being is that an item that is tahor should have a harder time becoming tameh. Which means that if the item is tahor and you tell me that a yad allows or gives you the capacity to have tuma that's external now affect the item that is there through the yad, then once the item itself is tameh, it certainly should have the capacity to pass that tuma out or convey it to something else. If the yad is powerful enough to allow the item to become tamei, then it's certainly powerful enough to allow the tuma that already exists to be conveyed to something else. If it can change the status from tamar tamei, it certainly can take something that's tamei and convey that tuma outwards. So therefore the Gemara says you would never assume that you have a yad lachnis and not lehotzi. Gemara says, okay, we'll work it this way. Ve'ema yad lehotzi. Let's say that the yad there is only teaching you that tuma can be conveyed outwards, but not that it can receive tuma through the yad. Shomer, then the additional pasuk by shomer adds on the feature that lotzi ulahachnis, that it can convey outward, but also receive tuma. Aval yad lahachnis, but a yad will not have the capacity to bring tuma to the item. V'shomer litzareif, lo. And similarly, the shomer will not be added to the minimum shiur of the item. Where it says, yad yitei rak tiv. there is another yad that is written over there, which is Tanur Vikirayim Yutatz Lachem, which is now a third pasuk found over there, which is in pasuk Lamed Hey. It says V'chol Asher Yipol Minevelatam Alav Yitma. Anything that these nevelot they fall onto will become tamei. Tanur Vikirayim Yutatz. If it is an oven, if it is a stove, they will need to be broken. The assumption here is that Tanur Vikirayim are made out of cheres. They're kli cheres. Kli cheres becomes tamei. The only way to be mitaheret is to break it. To meim heim, they will become tameim. To meim yilachem, they will be for you. Here again, the word lachem. And the Gemara Darshan's once again, lachem, the chol shebitzar chechem. So there's another lachem teaching you that there's a yad. Rabot et a yadot. Now you have an extra yadot. You actually have now three yadot. You have the yad that's written by uchlim. You have the yad that's written by nevela. And now you have the yad that's written by Tanur Vikirayim. The assumption being now that one of those is extraneous. Given that one of those is extraneous, it'll teach you not only does a yad have the capacity to convey tuma outwards, but a yad also has the capacity to receive tuma. So then, which one of those? Hey, minayu miyater. Which one is extra? Which one is extraneous over here? Lichtov rachmanu bizraim. If the Torah only wrote yad by zraim, by ochel, and then you'll learn Nevela and Kli Cheres, meaning Tanur Vikirayim from it, Mal Izraim Shekein Tumatan Miruba. When it comes to Tumat Ochel, it has larger amounts, quote-unquote, of Tuma than other items. That's definitely true vis-a-vis Nevela, because we saw in the Mishnah that there were certain times that things had Tumat Ochlim where they didn't have Tumat Nevela. That was the whole purpose of the Mishnah, to show that distinction. That for sure is true. With regards to Tanur v'chirayim, a Tanur and Kirayim accept Tuma only from an Ava Tuma, but it doesn't have the capacity to accept it from Blade Tuma, lower forms of Tuma, which is not true by Tuma Tochlim, which can accept Tuma even from Blade Tuma, even lower levels of Tuma. Lichtov Rachmana. So let's say the Torah should just write the Tanur. Just write it over there, the Yad. Belete Hanach Mine, and then learn Zraim, Ochel, and Tumveila from that. Malatanur shekeim itamei ma'aviro. When it comes to a tanur, that the tanur is a tchila, is a rishon the tuma, and the ochlim that are found inside of it become a sheni the tuma. So Rashi here is speaking about the capacity of it to convey tuma to other items, and they become today through tocho, through the airspace that is there. Something that's not true by nevela and it's not true by ochlim. They only convey tuma through negiyah. So then, lichtov rachmana minevela. So let us just write by nevela the yad, the leite hanach mino. And then you learn the other two from it, meaning you learn uchlim and tanur from it. Ma levela shekeim mitama adam. Nevela has a chumra that doesn't exist by the other items, which is, it is tamei tumat hamet, or it is basically a higher level of tuma, to the point where it can make something a rishon the tuma, it can affect Adam, it can affect human beings, whereas the tanur and the ochlim can only convey tuma to other items that are not Adam v'kelim, because they're a lower form of tuma. So umetama v'masa v'tuma yotza migufa. And in addition to that, it is metama through carrying of it. You don't need to necessarily come into contact with it. Utuma yotza migufa. It has inherent tuma. The Kli Cheres and the Ochlim over here are receiving Tuma from something that is Tamei. And that's what's making them Tamei. They don't have inherent Tuma to them. Once they are Tamei, they convey it. But they have to receive the Tuma from something else. Otherwise, they're not Tameim. The Vela is inherently Tamei. And that's also a distinction. Where it says, Chada Michada Lo Acha. We can't learn this. Chada Michada, as Rashi says over here, all of these are trying to use a Binyan Av. And we can't use a binyan av, a paradigm of one of them, then to learn to the others. So now we're going to try to use teite chada mitarte. Let us learn one from two of them. Let's say if we had two of them, then between the tzad shaveh shaveh, the common denominator between them, we'd be able to learn the third one. Hey teite, which one do you want to learn out? Lo dichtov rachmana bizraim. Let the Torah not write it by Zraim, by Ochel. But teite mihanach, and we'll learn it out from Tanur and Nevela. Malahanach shekein mitamim. Wait a minute, there's something unique about those items. They don't require a hechsher of the kabel tuma, whereas ochlim do require a hechsher of the kabel tuma. Tumar bizraim, sheim mitamim, ela behechsher, that they only become tamei through hechsher through a priming by having a liquid go over it. Amar Rabuna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua, Peirush lo yuchshiru, k'tanur shelo nigra lachto dami. That is not really a question, because the requirement for Hekshar the Kabel Tumah is not much different than the fact that a tanur or a kli cheres doesn't become tumah until you gomer melachto, until you finish making it. Until it has the same kli, it's not mekabel tumah. So before that, it won't be mekabel tumah because it hasn't reached its end point, it hasn't reached its completed state. Once it reaches its completed state, then it's mekabel tumah. That's the same thing as hekshar the kabel tumah. Now it's not identical, but it's very similar. And many of the Varshim, if you look in the Sefer Chinuch, Rashi on Chumash, Ramban on Chumash, Rashbam on Chumash, all speak about Hekshar the Kabel Tumah in this way, which is that the Hekshar is what prepares the food in its final stage. It brings it to the point that which either the Ramban suggests that Sretzim and those things that are Tameh only like things that are moist. So when you wet it and you make it moist, that's what opens it up to the possibilities of Tumah. According to Rashi, Chinuch, it's the washing of the fruit, which is that final stage, because people, after they pick the fruits or the vegetables, they wash off the dirt, they clean them, and then they eat them. So that's the final stage that gives it a shame ochel. It's not called ochel until you wash. Now, there's some things that you do that even when you don't wash them. The Chameh made it a low plug that any time an ochel is taken out, the only way that it becomes tamei is when it's ochel. Ochel only becomes ochel when it's washed or it's been cleaned. Or that is what's machshiv them when you have the hefsher or the liquid that goes on them. That's machshiv them to be an ochel. So what it's saying here is that you can't say hefsher is a type of chumrah that is associated with Zrahim. All hefsher is telling you is when the food reaches the point where it now has the capacity to receive tumah. Just like a kli cheres, if it wasn't finished, wouldn't receive tumah. You don't call that a chumrah. It's just not called a kli until it reaches that point. So to over here, this is not called ochel until it reaches that point. Ela pori chochi. This is the way you have to undermine that common denominator, which is malahanach kishukain mitamim et shalom inigiyah. Those two have tumah without contact. Tomar bizraim shein mitamim ela minigiyah. Ochel only become tamei through nigiyah, through contact. Nevela has inherent tumah, so it doesn't require nigiyah. The klicheres, the tanur, can have it through tochol without nigiyah. The food items only can get tumah through nigiyah, through direct contact. This is assuming that you have the girsa of mitamim, which you can see over here, the mishpat along the side here, he changes the girsa all along to mitamim, which is what Rashi has as the girsa. Now that's just not necessarily true, because ochel can receive tumah if it was in the house of a mate. And it can read it through an old mate without any contact, without any nigiyah, through carrying it. Hesed, there are mechanisms for creating tumah and these other items, even though there's no direct nigiyah. Either you have to say there that in olam mates, the equivalent of nigiyah, because it's as if the mate fills the entirety of the space, or you have to say that what Rashi says over here is that because it's a tzad shaveh, we learned on the top of Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph that anytime you have a tzad shaveh, any small pircha is enough to undermine it. Over here, the normal way of receipt of tumah for ochlim is through nigiyah. The normal way for kli cheres is toko, aviro, and the normal way for nevela is that it has inherent tumah. So Rashi's view over here is that whatever's written in the psukim speak about, by tumah tochlim, it speaks about the actual item, the sheretz touching it. So even though there are other mechanisms for getting tumah to these items, but in the psukim, the tanur is speaking about something that's bitoko, even though it's not touching it. Whereas the tumah tochlim is being met nigiyah, contact. And then for nevela is that has inherent tumah. So if you do that, that's already enough of a reason to undermine the tzad shaveh. But if you have the girsa, an altering girsa, which is not like Rashi's, you have it read, like our Gemara says, mitamei, which means that if, rather than it being the receipt of tumah, like Rashi says, to the item, rather it's the conveyance of tumah. And that is actually different. The ochlim only convey tumah through nigiyah, through contact. On the other hand, the klicheres not only can accept tumah through its tochol, it can also convey tumah through its tochol, through its aviro. That means that if you have a sheretz that's suspended inside of the tanur, and ochlim that are suspended inside of the tanur, the ochlim will become tmeim. The sheretz will affect the kli cheres, and then the kli cheres will affect the ochlim that are suspended in there. And the nevela convey tumah through its carrying it. So if you read it that way, then it makes it even easier to understand why the kli cheres of the tanur and the nevela is more chamur over here. Lo liftov rachmanu v'tanur. Let the Torah skip tanur per yad. V'taita teite mi'anach. And learn how to nevela in ochlim. Malahanach shukain ochel. Both of those are food items. Nevela, as well as ra'im, ochlim, are ochlim. And maybe that makes them different than tanur. Lo liftov rachmanu v'nevela. So here we finally get to the answer, which is, let us not write it by nevela. V'taita mi'anach. And then learn it out of tanur and ochlim. Yad de nevela lomali. So now we have the extraneous yad by nevela. We've now established that you didn't need to write yad by nevela because you could have learned it out of the yad of tanur and the yad of ochlim. So now why is it there? Imenu inyan the yad nevela, teu inyan the yad de alma. Since I don't need it for yad of nevela because I already learned that from the other two yadot, from that of yad of tanur and ochlim, let it be used for yad de alma. And now I have yad achnis, yad otsi. Now I have a yad that tells me both the receipt of tumah as well as the conveyance of tumah exist. So the underlying assumption is that the yad otzi by zrahim is to teach you about conveyance of tumah. The yad by tanur is also to teach you about conveyance of tumah. So then yad by nevela I would have also known because I could have learned it from a combination of those two. So then why is yad written by nevela? That's to teach you lahachnis, that it can now accept tuma as well. That's what the additional yad is. Now I have for yad lachnis ulotzi, shomer, the extra pasuk by shomer that tells me that shomer also has a function, is litzareif. That teaches you that it has the ability to also be added to the minimum shiur. So now once I've done that, I've explained everything I wanted to explain, which is yad functions both to convey and receive tuma. Shomer does the same thing through a kal v'chomer. And Shomer, on top of that, has a pasuk that teaches that Shomer has the additional facet, which is that it also is mitzareif to the shiur. Vakate, yad nevela, itzrich. Wait a minute, the yad nevela I need. Dilo kator rachmanu b'nevela, had there been no yad written by nevela, havamina, dayola vominadin, liot kinidon, I would have been capped out. There is a general principle, which is, if you are learning from a particular object, the item that you are learning to can't be greater or more chamur than the item that you are learning from. Tanur and ochel have a limited capacity to mitameh. They can only cause tumah to ochlim and mashkim. They don't have the capacity to mitameh adam and kelim. Nevela does have the capacity to even be mitameh adam v'kelim. If I learn the yad of nevela from ochel and tanur, that means that the yad of nevela will be capped out. And that means that it can only convey tumah up to the level of tanur and ochel, which means it can only affect ochlim and mashkim. Or it can only bring in tumah, which is not meaningful by yad of nevela, because it's inherently tameh. So it would be capped out at the amount of tumah that it can convey. It could convey tumah up to the level of tanur and ochel, but it would not be able to convey tumah at the level of ava tumah that it really is. And so therefore I do need the yad of nevela to teach me that the yad of nevela not only conveys tumah at the level of tunur and ochal, but can even convey tumah at the level of nevela, which is an ava tumah. So that's what the Gemara says here. Just like the yadot of the ochlim and the tanur do not mitame adam, af nevela lo mitama adam. So too, nevela is not mitame a person. Ela yad nevela mitzroch tzarech. That means I need the yad of nevela. The shomer de nevela hu delo tzarech. The shomer of nevela is what I don't need. Lamai hilchoto katvei. Rachmana, why did the Torah write it? Ili it's the rufe. If it's coming to teach you at siruf that the yad now also is mitzareif, amart lo mitzareif. You already said that that's not what happens with the yad. Lotzi, if you want to tell me that it's conveying tuma, kal v'chomer miyad ati. If you're talking about conveyance of tuma, if a yad conveys tuma, then certainly a shomer conveys tuma, and that's a kal v'chomer from yad. Elim einu inyan the shomer de nevela. If I don't need it for the shomer of nevela, tzneu inyan the yad de nevela, then I'll use it for yad de nevela. Imenu inyan the yad de nevela, tzneu inyan the yad de alma. Then I'll use it for yad de alma. And now I have yad dotzi, yad achnis. Now I have yad in both directions. So now at this point in the Gemara suggests that I do need yad written by all three items. That is because each one of them is unique and distinct. And even if you combine two of them together, I still can't learn the third one out from it, because there's a pircha in each of these cases. That means I need a yad to convey tumah by uklim. I need a yad to convey tumah by nivela. And I need a yad to convey tumah by tanur. All of those are necessary to teach me that the yad functions to convey tumah in all of those cases. Now, by nivela, I have also shomer written. And that is based on what we said at the end of yesterday's daf, the top of Kuf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, that the Gemara brings the pasuk of Nevelata, and it says there that Nevelata teaches you that it's only the Nevela, but not anything else that's added towards the item, or mitzarev towards the item. Then it says, you would have thought then that the Shomer does not add on by Nevela to the level, the threshold that you need for the Shior, but maybe it also doesn't do anything. It doesn't function to receive and convey tuma. That the Gemara says yitma. The word yitma teaches you that anugeya benivlata yitma ad arev, and therefore you learn from that benivlata to tell you it doesn't add to the shiur, but yitma it does have the capacity to convey tuma. So now the Gemara says, why do you need me to tell me that? If a yad, which you already have from the word lachem in that pasuk, conveys tuma, then certainly a shomer should convey tuma. So then what do I need the word yitma for in that case? The answer to that is that it's not necessary. Well, if it's not necessary, then what's it doing? That's what the Gemara says. It's a min enu inyan. If I don't need it for shomer of nevela, then use it for yad of nevela. Yad of nevela, I don't need it for. So then use it for yad da'alma, yad of ochlin. Rashi over here at the bottom just says, from a methodological standpoint, he says, why did the Gemara go through the trouble of saying that it can't be used for Shomer Nevela, therefore use it for Yad Nevela, and if it's not good for Yad Nevela, use it for Yad of Ochlim. Why don't you just say, I don't need it for Shomer Nevela, use it for Yad of Ochlim. Rashi says, that's too big a jump. Imeinu Inyan Zeh, Tzneu Inyan Acher, has to have some correlation or some connection to the item. So when I start out as Shomer Nevela, then I can transfer it over to Yad and Nevela. Because then it's Nevela and Nevela. So one of them is a Shomer, one's a Yad, but at least it's in the world of Nevela. Once I moved over to Yad and Nevela, and then I don't need it there, then I can move from Yad and Nevela to Yad to Ochlim, because then you have Yad and Yad, that gives them some commonality between them. If I go straight from Shomer and Nevela to Yad Alma, there's nothing common between them. Why is that? Inu Inyan Lizet, Tenehu Lizet. There's nothing that is even correlated between them. So that's why the Gemara goes through these two stages. But at this point, you have a yad that's written by each of these three items that's necessary. I have shomer that's written by nevela, which is unnecessary, because I could have learned that as a kal v'chomer from yad. I don't need it by yad of nevela, because I already have a yad written by nevela. So that means I have an extra yad. That extra yad I'm going to use for uchlim d'alma to tell you, not only does yad succeed at being motzi, conveying tuma, yad is also successful at achnis, to bring tuma in. Now, by nevela itself, you don't need the yad to be the hachnis, because nevela is inherently tameh. You don't need to bring in tuma. So therefore, it's only unidirectional. It's only the hotzi. So now, yad hachnis is the only thing that would be meaningful to have yad hachnis is by other ochlim. Once I have that, then I have the pasuk of alkol zeres zerua, which taught me about shomrim. Now that is excess above yad. And that tells me by ochlim, not only do you have Yad Lotzi, Yad Achnis, which also means Kal V'Chomer, Shomer Lachnis, Shomer Lotzi, then the pasuk by Shomer comes to teach me that Shomer not only is Machnis and Motzi, but also is Mitzareif, that it's added to the Kibetza, the minimum shiur of the item. So that's where we're up to now. The Gemara says, Ben Ema, why don't you do it in this fashion, which is, Emeinu Inyan L'Shomer D'Nevela, Deyu Inyan L'Shomer D'Alma. So why don't you say like this? Leave the sukkim. We have all the yads that we had before, and all of those yads are lotzi, are to convey tuma outwards, and we need each one of them. Then you have shomer by nevela, which is unnecessary because you have yad by nevela. If yad is true, then certainly shomer should be able to convey tuma. So then maybe let's learn it this way: Inu inyan the shomer nevela, the word yitma, Inu inyan the shomer da alma. Maybe it should be about a shomer da alma, shomer lachnis. The shomer litzareif. So that would teach me that a shomer can not only be motzi, because that's a kal v'chomer, but a shomer also can be machnis because of that shomer nevela. And the zera kol zera zeru will teach me shomer litzareif. Avad yad achnis lo. But the fact that a yad can bring tuma to the object will have no source for that. So that's maybe what the Enu Inyan does. It takes that Shomer Nevela and keeps it in the world of Shomer to tell you that Shomer has something that Yad doesn't have, which is that Shomer will have the capacity to Achnis, but Yad will not have that capacity to be Machnis. Gemara says, Ella Meikara Kiktiva Yad Achnosa Kiktiva. Rather, we have to go back now and look at things from a different perspective. Ella means rejecting everything we said until now. And then, so you could read it as Ella Mi'ikara, because of the question that we just asked, now we are forced to reassess the situation, and we have to go back to the original assumption that we had, and then we have to address the questions that were asked at the beginning of the sugya that dissuaded us from going in that direction, that had the parchinim reisha emi yad lotzi v'lo lachnis, that which we said originally, that Yad comes to teach you to convey Tuma, not to bring Tuma in, that's not a problem, because Kiktiva b'Yad b'Ochlim atchilat Tumatan Kiktiva. That when Yad is speaking about it, it's speaking about the origination of Tuma, the bringing of Tuma, k'shem mekablin oto min ha-sheretz, v'keivan d'machneset kol shekein d'motziah. And therefore, if it's machnis, then certainly it is motzi. Or you can read it as Elo. Now, we have a problem here, and therefore, mi'ikara, ktiva yad be'achnasa. That yad must be speaking about hachnasa. So either the mi'ikara is going on the ella to tell you that we have to now go ella mi'ikara, we need to go back to the original statement, or the ella is separate from the mi'ikara, and it's the ella, there's a problem here, mi'ikara. Yad is lachnis, and not lotzi. And the reason that you would do that is, even though Hotzat Tuma is much easier to speak about than Achnasa Tuma, nevertheless, the Yad that is spoken about should be speaking about Achnasa, and that's because that's the way that Tuma starts. In the Torah, we're speaking about these items becoming Tameh. It's V'chi Utan Mayim Ozeru Nafam Ritam Alav Tameh Hu Lachem. They are becoming Tameh. V'chi Amut Min Nevei Mashi Lachem Lachla Nogem Nivlata Yitma Ad Ha'arev. Again, the Nevela is Tameh. So if you're speaking about becoming Tameh, then Hachnosa makes more sense as being the Yad that is spoken about in the Pasuk. So now, once you build it that way, then if you have Yadot by all of these items, all of those items have a Yad Achnis. Once you have a Yad Achnis, Kal V'chomer Yad Otzi. If Yad is successful at bringing Tumah to the item, it certainly will be successful at taking Tumah that already exists and conveying it outwards. So therefore, you have now Yad Achnis. Yad Otzi, I've covered both of those. Shomer by Nevela, I don't need the Shomer by Nevela because Shomer is a Kal V'chomer from Yad. If Yad is successful being Machnis and Motzi, Shomer is certainly successful being Motzi and Machnis. Shomer to Nevela, Lomali. Why do I need a Shomer there? The Gufei. For Nevela, Olamai, what are you going to use it for? Ili, it's the Rufei. If you're going to tell me to tell you that the Shomer is added to the minimum Shiur, Amart lo mitzdareif. You already told us the word nevela tells you by tumah chamura there is no tziruf. The shomer is not added to the minimum shiur. Ilach nis lo tzi. If it's going to teach you that it conveys and it accepts tumah, kal v'chomer miyad atya. That you can learn out from a kal v'chomer. Therefore, milta da atya b'kal v'chomer, torach v'katol avakra. In Ochanami, you could have learned it out of a kal v'chomer. The shomer by nevela was completely unnecessary to be written. It's written anyway, which is a principle that we have, that sometimes the Torah writes something you could have learned through a logical argument. For instance, a Kal V'chomer. The Torah went out of its way and wrote it anyway. And that's true here as well. You could have learned it from a Kal V'chomer Shomer Nevela, because of Yad Nevela. Nevertheless, the Torah went out of its way to write it. Iochi Shomer Da'alma. Then why don't you say the same thing about the Shomer by Ochlim? And say the same thing over there. Emelochal Achnis Umil Todazi B'Kal V'chomer Tarach V'katav Lakra. Why don't you just say that the Shomer there is Lachnis, or whether it's Lachnis Ulotzi, just like the Yad. You don't need that because it already says it by Yad, it would have been a Kal V'chomer. Say, Tarach V'katav La'akra. Even though it could have come from a Kal V'chomer, the Pasuk wrote it anyway. Where it says, wait a minute. Heicha de'ita the Midrash Tarshinan. That is a last resort. If we have nothing to do with the item, then we say, okay, you could have learned it from a Kal V'chomer and the Torah wrote it anyway. If I have another way to use this pasuk and doresh the pasuk, I'm going to opt for that before saying that the Torah unnecessarily wrote this item. So So by Shomer of Ochlim, I'm not going to say, oh, the Torah wrote it even though you don't need it. You could have learned it from Yad, it wrote Shomer anyway. I'm not going to say that because I have something to do with the Shomer of Ochlim. There I can say it's mitzareif to the shiur of a kabeitza. By Nevela, I don't have that option. Because you already learned from the word Nevela ta, that Nevela has to be Nevela qua Nevela, and not a shomer, or not any other item to add up to the kezayit. So you already eliminated that option. Once you've eliminated that option, the only thing left to do with shomer is to say, tarach la katuv. The pasuk wrote it, even though you could have learned it through ekal v'chomer. So now, Rav Chaviva amar, shiny shomer din vela, Kamen de Maseyad Ka'ovid Ayad Shadinanle. Rav Chaviva gives a different answer. We have now in this answer over here switched to say that the adult that are mentioned by all of the items are Yad Bahaknis. They are Ayad to bring Tuma in. And even though the Hotza'ah would have been the more logical thing to put in first, because it's the less of a chinush, nevertheless, we said that Yad Achnis comes first because the Torah is speaking about the items becoming Tameh. That's the context of the Pasuk. And therefore, the Lachem in the Pasuk is speaking about Achnasa. Once you have Achnasa, you also have Hotza'ah, because that's a Kal V'chomer. If it can bring Tuma, it certainly, when the item is Tameh, can convey Tuma. How words? I have this in three different places. I have Yad Achnis B'Zra'im, and therefore Kal V'chomer I have Yad Otzi. I have Yad Achnis B'Neveila, Kal V'chomer L'Otzi. Truth is that you don't need a Yad Achnis by Nevela because Nevela is inherently Tameh. There's nothing that makes it Tameh. And so truthfully, the Yad by Nevela is the Otzi. That's what the Yad is there for. The Yad Achnis by Kli Cheres teaches you it's Achnis and the Otzi. How exactly a Yad works by a Kli Cheres is not exactly clear because a Kli Cheres becomes only Tameh mi Tocho, not mi Gabo, not from its outside. So if you have a yad that's attached to the outside, why is that able to bring tuma to the kli cheres? So that is actually a problem that is dealt with by the shonim. So even though a kli cheres is not mikabel mikabel, what you have to say is that there's a gzeirah d'katuv that a yad can bring in tuma, can convey tuma, and then even though the yad is mikabel, it's part of the gav of the kli, not the tocha kli, still it has the capacity to bring in tuma. Which is the favorite view of the Rashba. Although, according to the Maskana Tasugya, where we don't need to say this or create that differentiation, maybe that's not true, and the Yad of a Kli Cheres would not bring in Tumah, but it can convey Tumah to be no different than Migabo, and that seems to be the view of the Bali Tosafot in many places in Shas. Although the Ramban makes the suggestion that we're speaking about a Yad that has some sort of hollow space in it that makes it into a Toch, and therefore it can convey Tuma through the Toch of the Yad, and that's how the Tuma is coming in. Although other Rishonim disagree with that and say just because you have a hollow space inside of a handle, that doesn't make the handle Toch, and it doesn't change the situation at all. And then the Ramban brings then an alternate view, which is that the handle is made out of a different material. And since it's made out of a different material, it doesn't have a din of Toch and Gav, because other materials are Megabal Tuma, no matter what they are. But obviously, then it would have to be attached or go through to the toch of the tanur, because otherwise it would be attached to the gav and it would be back to square one. Even if the yad becomes tameh, it still can't bring it into the kli cheres because it's on the outside and not on the inside. Which seems to be the most plausible answer, that the combination of being a different material and penetrating into the toch of the kli cheres or the tanur, that's what allows for the conveyance of tumah from the yad to the kli cheres over here. So now, once you've done that, shomer is an automatic derivative of Yad, because Shomer is more chamor than Yad. If Yad can be machnis and be motzi, then certainly Shomer can be machnis and motzi. The Shomer that's found by Nevela, the Yitma, is actually unnecessary. We could have learned it from a Kal V'chomer. Torah wrote it anyway. The Shomer that's written by Zra'im, Al-Kozer Zeruah, that is extraneous, and that comes to teach us that a Shomer is mitztareif, is added to the minimum shiur that you need by Tumat Tochlim. And therefore, now we've covered all the information that was found in the Mishnah through that limud. On the other hand, Rav Chaviva offers a different alternative, and Rav Chaviva says, leave Yad the Hotzi. Yad by Zra'im is written in Hotzi, Yad Hotzi b'Nevela, and Yad Hotzi b'Kli Cheres. Then, Shaini Shomer de Nevela came into Maseh Yad Ko'avid Ayad Shadinanle. Even though the Shomer that is written by Nevela, and the problem we had before was, then why don't you just say that a Shomer has the capacity to be machnis and not a yad. He says that a shomer of a nevela functions like a yad. Because by nevela, there is no need for a quote-unquote a shomer, because it's machnis and motzi k'maseh yad. But it's not mitzdaref k'shar shomim, meaning that the shomer of the nevela doesn't add to the shi'ur of the nevela itself. Because that we already established, nevela ta, nothing else. So then, what does the shomer do by nevela? It functions like a yad, which it functions like bring to my in and convey to my out. If that's the case, then the shomer and nevela is almost the same thing as a yad everywhere else. And so even though shomer is written by nevela, it is functioning and acting like a yad. And therefore, if you're talking about conveyance of tuma, if a yad conveys tuma, then certainly a shomer conveys tuma, and that's a kavachomer from yad. If I don't need it for shomer of nevela, then use it for yad of nevela. Yad of nevela, I don't need it for. So then use it for yad da'alma, yad of ochlin. And therefore, if shomer over there tells you achnis, it also means yad lachnis, because shomer is written by nevela, is functioning and acting like a yad. And then shomer that is written by a kolzer zerua comes to the mitzdareif. So that's the view of Rav Chaviva. And again, the Gemara almost all the way through ignores the fact that a nevela really is only the otzi and not the achnis. That's what makes Rav Chaviva a little more appealing, because then it's speaking about yad otzi, but nevertheless, his shomer is lachnis, which also is somewhat difficult to understand by nevela. But the Gemara itself never addresses that issue, or really deals with the fact that the nevela really never needs a hachnasa because of the fact that it's inherently tamek. But nevertheless, many see that what it's saying over here is more generically that hachnasa and otzah, whether it's hotza'ah for nevela or hachnasa by other items, but not that there's a particular din of hachnasa over here with regards to nevela, whether that's true by the shomer, whether by the yad also. But now we have yadot by a klicheres, we have yadot by uchlim, and we have yadot by nevela. By a Tosafot on the top here say, how do I know yadot by kelim? Other kelim. How do we know that we have yadot there? So hikshir abeinu eliyahu minolan de yadot by kelim. How do you know that there's yadot by kelim? He says, you can't learn it out from any of the other items, because all three of them have something that's distinct from other kelim, which is kelim go to the mikveh and become tahor. Nevela, uchlin, and kli cheres, none of those can go to the mikveh and become tahor. So there, you can't learn kelim from all the other three items. So where is the source for that? He says, v'nireh mishum d'darshinan b'torat kohanim. In the Torat kohanim is the midrash halacha on Vayikra. It says, v'an nogeya bahem l'rabot et ayadot. That when you touch them, then that is coming to include yadot. And so there is this additional limud of nogeya bahem to teach you that there is also tumat yadot by ochlim. Now, he says that had it not been for the fact that there was yadot written by ochlim and nevela and tanur, I never would have assumed that a nogeya bahem means through a yad. Once I know that yad exists in all these other areas of halacha, then the Torah Kohanim says a nogeya bahem, called a nogeya bahem, comes to teach you even through a yad. So that means that yad from kelim comes from there. Now, Tosfot also asks about the yad lemeit. How do we know that yad applies by tumat meit or by tumat oel? Nafkalan b'me'at sad min nevela v'tanur. You can learn that out of a common denominator from nevela and tanur. And if you say, well, nevela is an ochel, you can bring in tanur. Tanur will prove, because tanur is not an ochel, and it's mitameh. Tanur has the chumrah of aviro. Nevela doesn't have that chumrah. The tzadah shaveh shabem, that they're mitameh, and they have yadot. If that's the case, intain le'inyan ochel, name a dayo. He says, well, then you have to say dayo. The same way we said by nevela before, if you learned it out from tanur and from ochlin, if we limit it to tumah of tumat maga of ochlim and mashkim, but it wouldn't affect adam the kelim. Say the same thing now by oel. If you're learning oel out of tanur and nevela, then the maximum or the way that it can convey tumah is the same ways that those convey tumah. Oel is not one of the options that is available in there, and maybe then yad shouldn't function like an oel. So the Tosfot says, Eish lamar to me ikara, vade lo ashkan betumah chamurat yadot. Since originally, we didn't have a concept of yadot at all. Over there, you can ask the question of dayo. But once you've already established that there is a halachic concept of yad that's found by all different types of tumah, then once you extend it to another type of tumah, it's going to function like that tumah itself. And therefore, if I have a yad by ohel that comes tanur and nevela, it will not be limited to just tanur and nevela's capacity to convey tumah. It will be elevated to that of an ohel in general, because now we know yad don't apply to all forms of tumah. I know that it exists by Kelim. I know it exists by Kli Cheres. I know it exists by Oklim. I know it exists by Nevela. Now when I say it exists by Ohel, it's going to exist like an Ohel. And it's going to function like an Ohel, because now we know that Yad has the same standing as the item itself. So that's how Tosfos gets Yad to be extended to Kelim and to Ohel. And therefore now we have Yad in all different forms of Tumah. So now Gemara brings, at this point, Matkiv la Rav Yehuda b'Rav Yishmael. Hadetznan. That which is said by the Mishnah in Uksim, in the second parak, Mishnah Gimel, there in Uksim, it says the following, Hapitma shel rimon. The pitum, like we say by the etro, the pitum of the rimon, and mitzterefet, does get added to the mount of ochel that you have there, because the pitum is considered to be a shomer to the rimon, to the pomegranate. Vanet shelo, ain't mitzteref. On the other hand, the nates is not added. It's not classified as a shomer. So, in all likelihood, it's not clear here what the pitum and the nates are. The Rishonim argue in the Mishnah in Uksin. But in likelihood, the pitum is that flowery thing that's at the top of the pomegranate. You look at the top of the pomegranate, it opens up and it's like a flower type of substance there. That flower is considered to be a shomer and protects what's inside of it. Inside of that flower, there are little hairs or antennae that grow also. Now that hair or those antennae are protective of the pitum, but they're not protective of the rimon. The Mishnah there explains that there's a difference between a shomer and a shomer le shomer. So the pitum, which is a shomer for the fruit, is mitzarek to the shiur of ochlim. The nates, which is only a shomer for the pitum, but not a shomer for the fruit itself, does not have a din of shomer. It's not mitzarek. That's just the basic din. Rabbi Yehuda's Bar Yishmael's question is the following. If you learn out the din of Shomer from Kol Zera Zerua, which means that when you plant a seed, you put it into the ground with its shell on it. Since you put it into the ground with its shell on it, therefore the shell is considered to be a part and parcel of the Zera, and that's added to the Zera in the Shiur of that which can't become Tameh or that which convey Tumah. He says that fails over here. He says, by my, why is this considered to be a shomer? Karikan akol zerezerua veleka. If you apply that same pasuk of zerezerua, it doesn't work over here. By seeds, you plant them in their shells. But here, nobody plants a pomegranate with the pitum on it. If you're going to do it, you're going to take the pitum off and you're going to plant it. Or, Rashi says, you're going to graft a branch of the tree. You're not going to plant it even from the fruit itself. So then why does the pitum count as a shomer? Vitu. Hadetznan, our Mishnah, Haor Varote Vakipa, Mitzarek, Ve'etamei Tumat Ochlim, they all add towards the Tumat Ochlim. Minolon, where do you know that from? Because they also are not planted, quote, good in the ground with their shell on it, with all these items on it. It's not relevant. Those are all items that aren't planted. So if you're telling me Shomer derives from the fact that a seed is put into the ground with a shell on it, that just doesn't work by the pitum of the Rimon. And it doesn't work by our Mishnah where you're speaking about meat. Ela tlatok raik tive. There are three psukim written. It's not really three psukim. It's three words in that pasuk, which is, I'll call zera, zerua, asher yizareya. So there you have zera, zerua, and yizareya, which are not necessary. One of them would have been sufficient to teach you the din of zera that goes in with its klipa. So now I have three times it's teaching you that the shomer is meaningful. Chad l'shomer d'zraim. One of them comes to teach you about the zraim itself, because they go into the ground with their shell on it. That's how you know shomer by zraim. Chad l'shomer d'ilanot. One to keep to teach you about shomer of fruits or fruit trees that don't get planted in the ground, but do have a din of shomer. V'yidach l'shomer basaru beitzim u'dagim. And the last one is for items that are not planted at all. They're not growing, like meat, eggs, and fish. The meat that has the skin on it, the beitzim that have a shell on them, and the fish that have scales on them, all of those are considered to be shomrim of the ochlim, and they're mitzaref to it. So it's almost like an eno inyan, meaning that if you don't need it for the zera zeruah, then you take each one of them and apply it to something else. So now we move on and say, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Yesh Yad Tuma, Ben Yad Echsher. Yad functions in terms of bringing Tuma to an item, conveying Tuma for an item. What a Yad can't do is be Machsher the item. If the liquids fell on the Yad and not on the item, that Hechsher of the Yad does not serve to be a Hechsher for the item itself. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, Yesh Yad Tuma Ulechsher. Yad functions not only for Tuma, but also the Hechsher. Now obviously, both Rav and Rav Yochanan agree that by a Shomer, that Hechsher the Kabel Tuma will affect the Shomer just like it affects the item itself. And that's because of Kol Zeres Ruah, that we learned that the seed goes into the ground with the klipa on it, and that's the posuk of Hechsher the Kabel Tuma. So it's clear to them that Hechsher the Kabel Tuma has application by a Shomer. The question is, by Yad, does it have application? But my kamiflegate, what is their machloket about? Ibai dema svara, some say that it's logical. Ibai dema kra, some say that it's from the pasuk. Ibai dema kra from the pasuk, mar savar, mikra nidrash lefanav, velo lifnei fanav. That a Torah, when it gives you an item, you dershin the thing that's proximate to it, but not something that is 2 steps away from it. That is in the pasuk, it says, v'chi yutan mayim al zera, which is the Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma. V'nafal minivlatam alav, tamehu lachem. Nafal minivlatam alav is the Tuma. Tamehu lachem, lachem is the source for Yad. So there you have Yad that is juxtaposed to the Nivlatam, which is the Tuma. So with regards to Tuma, Yad is directly adjacent to it. Therefore, lefanav, the din right before, Yad is what's applicable to Tuma. Lefnei lefanav, 2 steps away, meaning the beginning of the pasuk, which is talking about Hechsher, Rav says that that's not connected to the Yad at the end of the pasuk. And therefore, Yutuma is affected by Yad, but Hechsher is not affected by Yad. Umar Saber, Rabbi Yochanan believes, Mikra Nidrash Lefanav, Vilifnei Lefanav. The pasuk has application both to the Tuma that's right adjacent to it, as well as to the Hechsher that's at the beginning of the pasuk, which is Lifnei Lefanav. Ibai Tema Svara, some say that it is a logical argument. Mar Saber, Hechsher Tchilat Tuma, who? Rav believes that Hechsher is not the beginning of the Tuma process, and he's somewhat supported by what the Gemara said before, that the Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma, is what makes the item into an Ochel. It's not what conveys the Tuma, it's the final stage of making it into an Ochel, and therefore the Hechsher is the end of that process. Tuma is the beginning of a new process. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that Hechsher is a prerequisite for Tuma. Without Hechsher, you can't have Tuma. Yes, Hechsher makes it into an Ochel, but Hechsher also primes it to accept Tuma. And therefore, it's the last stage or of the Ochel, but also the first stage of Kabbalat Tuma. Without that Hechsher, you're not going to have Tuma. No matter what you do, that Hechsher is necessary to bring the Tuma. And therefore, it's considered to be Tchilat Tuma. Tanya Kaveta de Rabbi Yochanan, we have a brayta that supports Rabbi Yochanan's contention, Kshem Sheyesh Yad Tuma, Kach Yesh Yad Hechsher. Just like there's a Yad for Tuma, there's also a Yad for Hechsher. Ukashem, Sheim Mekabalim Tuma, Ella Kishil Yitashu. Just like items that grow, they do not Mekabal Tuma until they are detached from the ground. Kach Eim Mekabalim Hechsher, Ella Achi Talshu. So too, they can only become Mukshar, the Kabal Tuma, once they are detached. Now, Rashi claims the reason that you only can have Tuma devolve upon the items once they are detached is because Kedamrina v'Torah Kaimim Im Ata Omer Mechubarim Tmeim. If you say things that are attached again become Tmei, Timeta Et Hakol, everything would be Tmei. Shein Lecha Mechubarim Shein Shratzim Mitzuim Etzlam. There's no thing that's growing in the ground that doesn't have Shratzim that are moving around there or that come into contact with them, and therefore there's going to be Tuma on everything that's in everything that's attached to the ground. So it would make it as if there's no necessity to talk about Tuma anymore because everything would be Tamei, because if it's Mechuber Karka and Shratzim come into contact with it, for sure you're going to have Tuma in things that are Mechubar. Because of that, that's what Torah Kohanim says. It must be that Tuma only has application once it's detached. Then, once I know that by the Tuma, I say the same thing by Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma. So Tosfot then says, then why do you have to learn the Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma, from the Tuma itself? Just like you're saying to me, that if it was Mechubar the Karka, then it would automatically become Tamei, and everything would be Tamei. So therefore, it must be that it only becomes Tamei once it is separated. Say the same thing with Hefshir, the Kabel Tumah. If, even if it was Mechubar, it became Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, that would mean that everything was already Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, because everything had rain that fell on it. If rain came on it, everything would have been Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah from that point. So why do you need to learn it from Tumah itself? Why can't you learn it inherently from the same reasoning, which is, just like by Tumah itself, if you didn't say this, everything would be Tamei. So, same thing by Hefshir, the Kabel Tumah. If you didn't say this, then everything would be Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, because it would have rained on it. So he says, Yesh Lamar, then Zeim Tema Kolkach. That's not such a big deal. He says, that's not a big deal. Just to say that every item is Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, why it's attached to the ground, that's not such a big deal, because that still doesn't make it Tamei. It primes it. It makes it, facilitates its ability to become Tamei, but it's still not Tamei. So that wouldn't make it into something that seems silly or incongruous, because maybe everything is Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah. Once it's, when it's attached to the ground, it won't become Tamei until it's detached. He says it's not as obvious that Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, has to happen when it's separated, because it would be okay if everything was Mukshur, the Kabel Tumah, when it's attached. By Tumah, that would not be acceptable, because then everything would be Tamei. You never have anything that is Tahor, and therefore it has to be once it's detached. Although if you look at Rashi and Chumash with regards to actually the Kabel Tumah, he does mention the fact that it must be that only once it's detached, because otherwise everything would be Mukshar, the Kabel Tumah, and he does bring that logic down. So now the Gemara continues now with another machlok between Rav and Rav Yochanan, which is Amar Rav. En yad pachod mi gezayit, that a yad only exists when there is a minimum of a gezayit worth of ochel that is there. If you have less than a gezayit worth of ochel, then the yad is not meaningful. Ve'en shomer le pachod mi kipul. And a shomer is only relevant when you have something the size of a bean. That's the minimum shiur that you need for something to be classified as a shomer. So according to Rav, there are minimum shiurim with regards to this matter. By zera zerua, by seeds, we go to the biggest seed, which is the bean. And therefore, that will be the minimum shiur for shomer. By that of yad, we go to the standard shiur, because we don't have any shiur. The standard shiur is a kezayit. And Rashi just says simply that it's an inyan of chashivut, that a kezayit is a significant enough item to render something a yad, and same thing with a pool, it's significant enough that then it's considered to be a shomer. The problem then you have is that if it is speaking about a kezayit, then how do you get tumah over here? Because you require, in order to get tumah, you need a kebetza. So Rashi claims over here that there are other ochlim together with it. So there's a yad with a, say for instance, a bone, the piece of meat on it that is a kezayit. Now, to get to the kebetza, there's other food that is also there. And that's how you get to that minimum shiur of a kebetza. The Bali Tosafot say, Vein Nira, says, I don't think that's the case, because even if it's touching another chatzi kezayit, that will not become tamei, meaning that you can't add up ochlim that are there. So he says that the way this happens is that if you have a chatzi kezayit that is attached to a kebetza, but the attachment is not so strong, and the qualification for that attachment is in the final Mishnayot in Uksin, it speaks over there that if you can pick up an item and the other item comes along with it, it's considered to be Mechubar. If you pick it up and the other item pulls away, it separates away, then they're not considered to be Mechubar. And that's what Tosafot says over here. If you picked it up, then that Kebetza would pull away from that Pachot Mikazayit. So Lavi Yad Bishar Ochel Ela Pachot Mikazayit. So the yad is only a yad for that pachod mikazayit. But for tumat uchlim, it's still considered to be attached, and therefore you have now a single entity that is the minimum shiur of a kebetza. Now, Tosafot then says, what we noted before, he says, but according to Rashi's interpretation and the rest of Shas, it's not true. Rashi has different opinions. Sometimes he says this, sometimes he doesn't say this, but according to Rashi, in some places where he says that, the acceptance of tumat uchlim is a koshu, you only need a kebetza for conveyance, then none of this matters. Because then the yad that's attached to a kezayit, you don't need to get to a kebetza, because here we're talking about bringing tumat to the item. Tumat being brought to the item can be even a koshu, and therefore if you meet the kezayit, you're not a kebetza, you're just fine over here. And even if you don't think it's mekabel, but koshu midoraita, that's what says, even if it's just mekabel midorabanan, you could still have a minimum shiur over here to determine what is a yad, still below a beitza, and have nafkamina in terms of tumah midrabanan. So So Tosafot says, according to the Shita, that it's a kosho, then you don't need all this. If you believe that there's a need for a minimum shiur to be mikabo tumah b'kabetza, then you have to come up with this idea of how you got to the minimum shiur b'kabetza, even though you're at a kazayit for the yad. Where does the rest of the kabetza come? Rashi just says there's other ochel there. Tosafot says it has to be more than it has to actually be attached, even though it's not a strong enough attachment that when you pick it up, it would separate away, but it's enough of an attachment to make it a single ochel of a kabetza. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Yad the Pachot Mikazayit, Yesh Shomer the Pachot Mikapul, that there is a Yad for less than a Kazayit, and there is a Shomer for less than a Pul. Rashi is Midayek from this, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that there is a minimum Shior for Yad, and that is Pul. Because if he believed there was no minimum Shior for Yad, he could have combined them together and said, Yesh Yad, Yesh Shomer the Pachot Mikapul. The fact that he didn't do that shows you that he believes that there is a yad for less than a kazayit, but there still is a minimum shiur of a pull. On the other hand, by a shomer, there is no minimum shiur at all. That's the view of Rashi. The Ramban disagrees and says that Rabbi Yochanan has no minimum shiur for anything. And the reason he said yad by kazayit and shomer by pull is that he's just repeating what Rav said. He's just responding to Rav. Rav, you say a kazayit? I say no kazayit. You say a pull? I say no pull. But not that he's saying that there is any minimum shiur for yad. He thinks there's no shiur whatsoever. Meitave, bet atzamot, balehem bet chatzei zeitim. You have two bones, and on those bones, each of them has a chatzi kizayit. Vichnis roshehem. And then he put the rosh, I mean the yad of each of these, into a shnaim lebayit, into the house. Vabayit ma'il alehem. And the house is creating an ol over them. So you have a chatzi zayit of mate, and a chatzi zayit of mate. Together, they would become a kazayit mate, and that would be mitame bohel. The bone that is attached to them is a yad for this chatzi kazayit. That yad is found inside the house. So you have two yadot inside the house. If the yadot are successful at conveying the tumah that they have there, the chatzi kazayit mate, into the house, and since both of the bones, the yadot, are found in the house, then you now have a kazayit worth in the house, and then the house would be tamei tumat ohel. But that all assumes that it works, that the yad can't do that with a chatzi kazayit. Habayit tamei. So the Tanakh Kama says the bayit is tamei. Yehuda ben Nekutso omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov, heyach shnei atzamot mitztarfim lekazayit. How do two separate entities mitztarev to form a kazayit? You have a chatzi kazayit and a chatzi kazayit. Where do they ever become a kazayit? Now the bone itself, which is from a mate, doesn't help over here, because a bone of a mate is mitamei b'magau matza, but it's not mitamei bohel. The only way to have a tumat ohel is with a kazayit basar min hamet, and that kazayit basar min hamet is not in the house, it's only brought into the house through the bones itself. Gemara says, V'rav hai v'mai ukimla. How does Rav explain this braita? Now the truth is, Rashi and the Balei Tosfot say this, is that the question is on Rabbi Yochanan as well. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan have a problem now with how to explain this braita. The Gemara just started out with Rav, either because Rav is a Tana Upoligu, he could have argued on it. Nevertheless, the Gemara says we want to fit Rav into this. Or because Rav actually can fit into both opinions in the Braita, and therefore they started with Rav. But the question is equally applicable to Rabbi Yochanan. Ibi Yad, if you set it up as being a Yad, Kasharesha, then the first part of that Braita is a problem, because if you say that we're speaking about a Yad, according to Rav, a yad less than a kazayit is not a yad. If that's the case, then what is the sheet of the Tanakama that there is tumatamate bowl over here? Ibish shomer, if it's a shomer where we said a shomer above the size of a pool is a shomer, kasha seifa, then what is Yehuda ben Nekutso's reasoning that he says it's not mitame bowel? So Gemara says, ibayitame bishomer, ibayitame biyad. Some say we're speaking about a shomer, some say we're speaking about a yad. Ibayitame biyad. Some say it was being made a yad, v'hu de'amar ke Yehuda ben Nekutso. That was being made a yad, and Rav holds like Yehuda ben Nekutso, which is that Rav says, we're speaking about a yad, you can't have a yad less than a kazayit, therefore, I don't hold like the Tanakama, but I do hold like Yehuda ben Nekutso, and that's why Yehuda ben Nekutso says there is no tumah over here, and I subscribe to that. V'ibay de'ma b'shomer, or you can explain the bright that's being made a shomer, v'hu de'amar te Tanakama. And then Rav holds like the Tanakama. And Rashi points out that we're speaking about here a bone that has marrow inside of it. Now the bone that has marrow inside of it, the bone that is around the marrow area, that's considered to be a shomer. Now, if that part is already in the house, then you already have the marrow or the basar in the house itself. So it must be that there is a bone with marrow in it, and then there's another side of the bone that does not have marrow in it. And that is considered to be a shomer, and that's what's inside the house. The problem is that the Mishnah in Uksin says that only that which is opposite the basar is considered to be a shomer. So Rashi explains that that is only true with regards to basar on the outside of the etzem, or with an etzem around it. There, only the part of the basar that is opposite the etzem is the etzem considered to be a shomer. On the other hand, part of the bone that sticks out is not considered to be a shomer. By the marrow, any time you break the bone, then exposing the marrow inside breaks the shomer around it. And therefore, even the part of the bone that doesn't have the marrow in it, the fact that it seals up that bone is protective of the marrow inside. And therefore, that part of the bone that's not opposite the basar is still classified as a shomer for the marrow that's inside. And that's the part that's inside the house over here. So Rav can fit into either opinion of the Braita. He will just explain that the Tanakhama is speaking about a shomer, whereas by Yad, he would agree that it doesn't work. And Yehuda ben Nekusa disagrees even by shomer, but he says, I hold like the Tanakhama. Or he can say it's speaking about a Yad, and Yehuda ben Nekusa says it's did by Yad. Had it been a shomer, he would have agreed with the Tanakhama. But the Tanakhama says, even by Yad, it works. I agree with the Yehuda ben Nekusa, I don't agree with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kula Abiyad. Rabbi Yochanan explains the whole thing as speaking about a Yad. And he holds like the Tanakhama, because he can't fit, according to Yehuda ben Nekusa, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is a Yad for less than a Kazayit. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, he can't be speaking about a Shomer, because if it's a Shomer, it can be even less than a pull, and then you could add multiple items over here that had pieces on them that was a Shomer, that were sticking into the house. It wouldn't just be two of a Chatzi Kazayit. And of course, he can't fit into Yehuda ben Nekusa. If he says it's a Yad, Rashi the Shita Do says that Rabbi Yochanan actually fits in beautifully here because he says that a Yad can be less than a Kazayit, but a Yad still needs to be more than a pool. And that's why he put in two Chatzi Kazayitim. So that way it's less than a Kazayit, but still bigger than a pool, and then they are mitzvah for Yad. Had he gotten multiple bones with smaller pieces of meat, then it might have been less than a pool, and he thinks there's no such thing as a Yad less than a pool. On the other hand, the Ramban, who believes that even less than a pool, there is a Yad, then he just has to say that they gave an example of Shtei Chatzei Zeitim, but they could have possibly given an example of more items. The reason they used two over here is to show you the power of Yehuda ben Nekusa, which is that even with two Chatzei Zeitim, Yehuda ben Nekusa still thinks that it's not a Yad in that case. I'm going to stop here, six lines down on Kuf Yud Tet, Amud Aleph.